The rebars, the insulate, the, excuse me, well, let's do it in the right order. The plastic's down on the ground. Some heavy duty plastic that I had in the closet in Pete's house. Don't ask. And he didn't even miss it. It was like a 6 foot roll of plastic in the closet in his house. And so I got that out, put it down. And then we have an inch and a half of polyisofoam and then the rebar on top of that. So we're going to be pouring that sucker this coming week, just waiting for the day when it ain't raining. And we're just ready to go. That'll be, once that's down, my wife says, well, what if we don't get the slab poured before it snows? We're going to pour the slab next week. That's easy. It's what happens after that might take some time, because there's this thing I find that is always, when you're doing projects like this, it's time and it's money. And you don't normally have both at the same time. Either you have the spare time to do this, but no money to buy whatever it is, or vice versa. So, but we're going to be, it's not a huge project, and we'll be able to get it done. So we'll see how that works out. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. We shipped a bunch of tanks this week. Finally, we were waiting on materials and got several tanks out the door. Loaded them on the truck. I borrowed a forklift from a friend of mine, and I've got to return his forklift this week, I suppose. We've got a couple more that we have to finish up this coming week, and then we'll be caught up on tanks, and I can focus again on cars, which are rapidly disappearing from my lot. We're running low on inventory. We have cars ready to go, but they're not done yet. They're almost ready to go, I guess, would be the term. We had a Tacoma go out yesterday, which was a really nice truck. Boy, and you know, the Toyota did this thing where they swapped out frames on trucks. You know, frames were rotting out prematurely, and you know, when you look at a truck and you think about taking everything off of that truck and putting it on a new frame and having the company do that for free, absolutely amazing that they did that. And I've been lucky enough, as we've gotten Tacomas to sell, of getting trucks with new frames, which usually are extraordinarily expensive. So we find some reasonable price ones and get them out the door for customers. So that's kind of cool. We're going to take a break here. It's 8:29, almost 8:30, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls, hopefully at 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 8:35. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line 601-207-4478. Oh, wait a minute. What is going on back here? We got some kind of tune going in the background. Let me just look here. Right there. That's better. We got the Grateful Dead. We don't need people talking in the background. Looking at my wife's computer, I have her old computer. We're going to sell it to somebody, I guess, put it on eBay or something. So we wiped it clean, but she had about under 100 songs on it, 9 of which were Beatles, 9 of which were the Doobie Brothers, 38, some, yeah, there weren't that many more. She said, what was it? She said, did you listen to the Irish playlist? I said, no, I didn't. Anyway, I think I've only got 6,000. My daughter Maria, who might be on next hour, if I can control her into it, has, I think, 45,000. But who's counting? Speaking of counting, I want to tell you, if you're counting your money and you want to save some money, you want to know Alan at General Appliance in Brewer on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. A friend of mine came in yesterday and has one of these little Amish cottages, you know, little shed buildings. And it's a nice little building. It's 10 feet by 20 feet. It's got a little porch on the front. And he wants to winterize it. So we were chatting about it. And he said, you know, he's asking me about using photovoltaics to heat an electric heater, which doesn't quite make, is not a good, he's not going to use it every day. So it might work, but the better fit is to get something like an Empire heater that doesn't use electricity. You put a can of gas out there, and probably if you're only using it a day or two a week, it will probably last all winter. And, of course, the place to get an Empire heater is at General Appliance on Center Street in Brewer. You can call them at 989-4341. So I asked the question. I said, okay. So, you know, this is kind of a nice place to go. And he wanted to know about insulating and stuff like that. So we chatted about that. I said, what are you going to do about the bathroom? And I'm sure he had some thoughts as to what he was going to do. But I said, well, you know, General Appliance has got composting toilets. And they're not that expensive. And they don't smell. And you're indoors. Indoors is a big thing for me when it comes to using the bathroom. Now, having said that, I have worked outdoors. I have worked in the woods in the wintertime. And it's not necessarily a pleasant experience using the outdoor facilities, whether there's an actual building or not, or there's a tree. they've got those. And they go indoors where you're heated, or you're, at least you're out of the weather if you're not heated. And their number is 989-4341. So give them a call, and you'll be all set for being off the grid in winter in Maine. And we'll go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Hey.
I had a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
I purchased one of your storage tanks about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's been working flawlessly for hot water, slow hot water.
Good.
And the square ones, and I wanted to know how long the is usually.
You're breaking up on me. I'm not getting your question. Hello? Oh, we lost him. We got the part about the tank working flawlessly. That was good. There we go. Okay, you're back.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's okay.
I was wondering how long those liners last.
They should last a long time. They should outlast you or I.
Wow.
I mean, okay. that having said that, if for some reason a liner ever fails, we've made it so it's easy to replace it. And we'll warranty. There's some level of warranty depending on which liner it is.
Sure, sure. Well, that's great. Well, the tank's been working really great. I mean, I've been really impressed. Temperatures have gotten up to about 160, 65, 70,
mm-hmm.
And 180 in the summertime. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah, good.
I have another question.
Sure.
I had another question for you, and that is on solar, we've been looking at solar panels with a generator backup for the batteries. And I didn't know if you had any experience with that and recommendations on generators that might work well with solar for backup.
Well, I was having this conversation yesterday. I don't have a specific generator. I guess, the ideal would probably be a propane generator just because I think it would last a lot longer. A lot of folks use diesel. My experience with propane forklifts has been so positive that, the oil doesn't get dirty you're not getting oil dilution from the fuel because it's already gas. I would be leaning towards that, and getting a generator that can either directly recharge the batteries would be ideal, or obviously you can use a charger in between the inverter and the batteries. The wild card really is the batteries and the cost of batteries. The batteries don't tend to be inexpensive. I do have a friend who gets in with some regularity telecommunications batteries, which are lead acid batteries that are very substantial. They're made not to fail, and they get swapped out regularly. So obviously we don't want our cell phones to die. So if those batteries are up on a tower somewhere, the tower's running off grid power, but if the power goes out for some reason, the batteries have to kick in and maintain the system. That being said, they usually see very, very light use and maintain a very long time and are much more substantial than a lot of common batteries that folks use, like golf cart batteries or even deep cycle batteries. So He does have those from time to time. I think he's got a batch coming in soon. And I was over his place the other day dropping off some Prius cells for him to recycle. And he had a number of the 12-volt telecom batteries there. I don't know how many were sold, but I know he's got more coming in because I had folks asking me, you know, recently. So that would be and that kind of becomes the bridge then. How long because you've got three components in a system like this. You've got the photovoltaic panel, you've got the battery storage, you got generator for backup. You don't want to run the generator any more than you have to, and the battery is usually, as I say, more expensive than the other two items. So ideally, it's nice to have a lot of batteries because you can store either solar power or generator power, not have to run the generator very often. So having access to something that is slightly used is a good fit because these are made to last a long time. When you get to that point, give me a call. I'll put you in touch with them.
Oh, I appreciate that very much.
Okay.
Well, have a great day.
Okay. Thanks. You too. Bye bye. Yeah. We were having this conversation yesterday about, you know, if you're doing a little cabin like this, that's off the grid, you know, what are you running for electricity? And that kind of determines how big a system has to be. And it doesn't have to be very big if you're just running some lights. If you've got something like an Empire heater, that doesn't require electricity. You just have to have a can of gas there. Or a wood stove, same deal. It's conceivable you could even run a pellet stove off-grid with, you know, some battery backup. But Ava's thinking about getting a generator. Well, why run a generator if you don't have to? It doesn't make sense. If you're there maybe two times a week for, I don't know, 6-12 hours, and you're just running LED lights, maybe a radio or I don't know if you have a TV, if you can get TV wherever this place is, that's not going to take much power. Even if it's a TV, a small TV doesn't draw very much power. So it's just a matter of doing the math of what you're going to run and then working from there back to how big a system has to be, recognizing that the state of Maine, we have 50% sunny days. Now, unfortunately, it's not every other day. It may be 4 days of no sun. So you have to kind of plan for that a little bit. And that's where the storage comes into play and the size of the system. So I hope that helps. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039 to Texas 601-207-4478. We got a text message. Do you recommend 2-inch styrofoam on the outside foundation wall from the footer to the sill? What product do you recommend to protect the exposed? If this being a perfect world, the insulation is on the outside, you're way ahead of the game. The foundation is above freezing and is frost protected, and cracking becomes much less of an issue. The catch is anything above grade is going to just break down. It's plastic. It's in the sun. If it's below grade, you know, underground, it's going to last forever. Above grade, it's going to start to wear away from ultraviolet radiation. So the pragmatic approach is to bring the foam to grade and then insulate on the inside of the wall and go down maybe 2 feet below grade. So you've got some overlap there. It's not perfect, but it's good. It keeps the heat loss down because the part of the basement wall that is above grade, is in the air, is the part that sees the most heat loss. And we need to protect that. So if you want to just go all the way up to the sill, a couple of options. One is to paint it. There are paints out there that are rather viscous and thick that are specific for coating foam. Obviously, you can nick that. Just latex house paint is better than nothing. It has to age just a little bit because it has kind of a slick surface, styrofoam does, when it's new. So it doesn't take long for sunlight to get it a little bit chalky, just enough so there's something for the paint to grab to. Block bond was something that a lot of folks use that's used for coating cinder blocks. It's concrete with some fiber reinforcement that works well. It does tend to flake off. The other one is a product called getting back into the viscous kind of things. One product, I don't even know if it's around anymore. I should look it up here. It's called Stucco Flex, and I have used it. Stucco, F-L-E-X, all one word. And this is a great computer. Yeah. So it's still around, and it's supposedly works well on foam. You know, a lot of the malls and commercial buildings have what's similar to Stucco Flex, and what that is beadboard insulation, which is an expanded polystyrene that's applied to the outside of the building. And it's a great substrate for putting stucco on, which is cheap and easy and doesn't usually need to be painted very often, and looks good. So it's that would be an option. And now the reason I'm a little hesitant about putting foam above grade outside, other than the durability and the wearability, is if you have critters that get up in between the foam and the foundation, they're right up to your sill, and you're not going to see them. You're not going to know they're there. So having that physical separation on the outside, I kind of like. You could put a sill plate on, a metal sill plate, which in theory should keep them off of the from getting into the wooden structure of the building, and having that flashed is obviously appropriate. A little bit of a catch there if you're retrofitting and you put 2 inches of styrofoam on the outside of the basement wall, is now your foam insulation sticking out 2 inches beyond the siding of the building. Might you following that? So if water's running down the building or it's raining, hits that insulation, hits that drip edge that you've put on top of the the separator to keep the critters out, and it's splashing back up on the building. It's not necessarily the best fit. My thought is, if I was ever doing something like that, I would bevel the edge of the foam, maybe 60 degrees, so it's a very sharp taper, so it's not quite as obvious aesthetically, and it would minimize any water splashing back and potential of water hanging around the sill of the building and causing a problem. So hope that helps. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text is 601-207-4478. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. Talking about foam on your insulation. I built our house with ICF, a basement with ICF last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the big box stores sell a nice roll-on product that's a black foam coating that works really well. But then something I did not expect was how much my chickens liked to eat the foam. So they're fenced in now, but I got to do some repairs to the above grade foam.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of that in chicken coops, and it makes sense. They would get around. It must feel good, I guess, maybe to peck at foam.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. There's a joke there somewhere. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Take care.
See you. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't keep chickens, so I don't have that problem, but they can be kind of destructive. And I remember selling foam to folks who, when we were selling foam, who were doing chicken coops, and that becomes a little bit tricky. There are, other means, but I think a coating is probably the easiest approach, just because if it's thick enough. The Stucco Flex is a sanded stucco. So it tends to be kind of rigid, or at least slightly rigid when it's done. It's still got some flexibility to it. But I've used it, and it rolls on, which you can get it in color, so it's not black. So you get colors that may work for you aesthetically better than black. You can do multiple coats as well. I can tell you, I think on one of my houses I sold, I had foam on the outside of the foundation. At some point, somebody bought that. One of the subsequent buyers of the house took the foam all off. And I didn't necessarily disagree. And there was enough of an overhang. It was underneath the overhang even. But I didn't disagree with the concept of taking it off, because aesthetically, it was a brick foundation. So the brick looks nicer. But that means then that I would have the, I wouldn't hesitate about spraying the inside or insulating the inside. Spray, especially in an old rock mortar basement, spraying that wall right down to the floor works very well. And it's not the cheapest date in the world, but you don't have to do it. There's no digging involved. And then it does a really good job. So, you know, the you don't have to repoint anything. You don't have to worry about some seepage. Foam can do a pretty effective job in protecting against seepage. Which, speaking of which, remember when I told you we did the water line at my house? Well, we had to drill out the hole that went through the foundation while I had an old rock mortar wall. And at some point, somebody poured what I call a buttress wall inside the rock mortar to reinforce it. And that's like a foot and a half thick. And the pipe came through that wall. Well, we had to make the hole bigger because we used a bigger pipe in replumbing. And I've got seepage coming in that hole. And I've got to deal with that. We've got a some kind of high-performance PEX tubing that the water district uses. So I've got to see what I can. I guess I'm going to try something like hydraulic cement first and see if I can seal it with that. I think it's a little tricky to use that on plastic and get a good bond. And I'm not. I don't want to damage it with the wrong adhesive or wrong solventy type caulk. We'll see. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Okay. Busy week, though. Busy week. Fixing a lot of different things. But it's interesting. You know, you were talking about just about a half an hour ago about the frame replacement, you know, thing that happened with the Toyota trucks.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I've got a friend of mine, part-time customer, but a friend also with a Toyota Sienna.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about a 2005, 2004, somewhere around there. And rust evidently penetrated part of the subframe in the front on the driver's side.
Yeah.
And it weakened one of the anchor points, the tabs there, that the subframe gets bolted up to the frame of the vehicle,
you
know, to the chassis. And it cracked. So the vehicle is actually undrivable. You know, you just a dangerous situation. You put the brakes on, it veers off to one side, so it's not a good thing to have happening.
Sure.
But I told them, I said, look, they had that recall program on the pickup trucks, and I said, maybe there's something going on with the Siennas, too. I mean, rust is rust.
Yeah.
If it creates a hazardous problem, then, you know, it's something that should be addressed.
Yeah.
Well, he called up Toyota, and they said, you know, no, we don't do anything with the Siennas. It's just the trucks that we ended up having a recall program on, which I found kind of strange. I mean, it wasn't as damaged as a result of an accident or anything like that. Just, you know, weathering and rust and fatigue of the metal, and then finally broke off. So, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I usually try to steer people towards see if the factory covers it, you know, whether it's a recall or a safety recall or something like that before you get into an expensive repair, because obviously replacing the subframe on a Sienna V6, you know, it's quite a big job.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I've done them not on Siennas, but I've done, had to do subframes on different cars and ain't a cheap day. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as they say, rust never sleeps.
That's right. Thank you, Neil Young, for that one. Thanks you. And thank you, Tom.
All right.
Take care. Bye bye. We're going to take a break here. It's 8:55. It's the Voice of Maine. It's hot and cold. It's me, Tom, and we'll be back in a bit. Stay with us. Man. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Otis Redding. What can I say? Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you what. Hey, I had to play the whole thing just because. So I'm going to confess, 9:08 in the morning, I was up shaking just now. I've got the studio speaker all the way up, got the headphones off, and I am getting myself, what's the term I want to use? Motivated for hour number two of the radio show. And I turn around, the door's open, and there's Mike Dow saying, good morning, Tom. And there's Tom doing the funky shake, letting my backbone slip shake right there on Saturday morning. You think I just sit here and talk? I don't. I tell you what, you got to be motivated to do this show. Oh, speaking of motivation, We had a power outage at my house, and it took out my clock radio, which, you know, not a big deal. We had a spare clock, little thing with a radio in it, alarm clock. But the one day of the week I need to get up on time is today, Saturday. And I don't even know how to set the alarm on. The other radio I had, like, for 15 years. And I didn't even know how to set the alarm on the one we have. And more importantly, I always get up before the alarm goes off. I really don't. And unfortunately, I've hit the wrong button because, you know, getting up at 4:30 in the morning, I'm not at my brightest, okay? And so there have been times I've not shut the alarm off properly. And either I hear music coming from upstairs, or the old radio used to make a beeping noise, and it would get louder and louder and louder. And I'd go running upstairs, shut off the radio. Of course, my poor wife has woken up at that point, and I feel kind of stupid. I have to get a proper radio with a proper alarm button that I can see in the dark. I had the thing trying to see in the dark where it said alarm. And shut it off, and I did it, but it was frustrating. I mean, you know, power goes out and things die. That's not right. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line up and running, 601-207-4478. I got a text here. You were just boogieing. Normal people do that. It's okay. Thank you. I do. I do the funky boogaloo. I'm a funky guy. What can I tell you? Let's see. So a couple things related to automotive stuff. I'm looking at the inspection criteria for cars in the state of Maine. And if you have a car that you've lost the bumper on, now this is probably not for quite current cars, but maybe going back into the 90s, when there was actually a bona fide, maybe a metal bumper, or a truck. Some trucks at least have a rear metal bumper. Apparently, you can replace that bumper with something that's not original, including a piece of wood. I've done this. I did an electric car once, electric truck actually, it was an S10. And I got a piece of cedar. I want to say it was 5x5. Cedar's fairly light wood. And it looked good, and we mounted it on the thing. Well, there's actually criteria by the state of Maine for inspection standards. You have to use hardwood. Now, I probably could have, I mean, the cedar was so substantial, I think it would have been okay. I never got stopped for it. It looked good, too. But if you use a piece of hardwood, or like a board for your bumper, it has to be a minimum of 1.5 inches thick by 5.5 inches tall. And it has to be hardwood. You can't, you get a piece of KD over at Home Depot or Viking Lumber or wherever, that ain't going to cut it. It's got to be hardwood. And just so you know, which reminds me, one time I went to Best Buy in Bangor, this is years ago, and it was I couldn't tell you what the car was, but it was so hilarious. They had, and I didn't take a picture of it, and I should have. They had a birch log chained to the front where the bumper was. This car needed a lot of love, and they chained the tree. It looked good. If you didn't have the, you know, it was a little bit neater installation. It was kind of awesome. You know, it was white birch, had the nice white birch bark. It had a look, had aesthetic. Anyway, I digress. Well, one more digression. Okay. This hands-free phone thing is still kind of teeing me off. And I understand where we're going with it, but, you know, texting and how do you segregate? How do you know somebody's texting or using the phone? I mean, it's hard. So, but it's okay to be hands-free with the phone in the car and have Bluetooth. Now, the Bluetooth, the guys were talking about this the other day with Chris Quimby and Chris Downs, the phone guys. You can use the ear pods that Apple makes, the wireless Bluetooth ear pods, which have a built-in microphone. Okay? So I don't like ear pods, so I like headphones. So I've got a set of headphones that are Bluetooth that I can use. I put those things on. I don't hear anything except what I'm listening to, and I'll use them like when I'm mowing the lawn and stuff. And I can hear music. I can't hear you. My wife is talking to me. I can't hear anything. So that's okay to drive the car detached. Now, granted, you're supposedly watching the road, but that's kosher. I'm a little flustered by this whole thing. It seems a little, and I don't want to sound like right wing conspiracy, but it's a little bit nanny state to me. But that's me. What do I know? I mean, it's a safe thing, and I will suffer through it to make sure that some kid doesn't kill themselves texting. I think it's probably worth it from that point of view, but it is annoying because I talk on the phone a lot. So let's see. We got a text here. A few years ago, I got a few sheets of foam that was 1.5 inch thick from the location across from Just Barbs. That was me. Okay. Have black paper on the outsides. I need 1 4x8 sheet and thickness matters. Do you have a sheet of anything 1.5 inches, preferably black paper? No, I don't. I'm sorry. I actually have a picture on my phone, if that's it, of that. If it's a thunder, what? Oh, then he changed. This is a separate text. I have a picture of the phone on my phone. If it's a Thunderbird or an LTD 75-ish with the log chain to it. No, this was a small car. It was something like a Geo or a Corolla or something like that. It might have been a Geo Prism, which was a Corolla. Anyway, I don't think the log as a bumper is necessarily a one-time thing. I think a lot of folks in Maine have. I mean, you got logs all over the place. Why not, right? Hey, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we will take some calls at 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. It's hot and cold Saturday mornings, 9:17. A guy talks too much. Oh, what can I do? We are back. It's 9:21 on the Voice of Maine. I'm kind of embarrassed to interrupt this song because it's just so damn good. Tony Bennett, Diana Krall. And it's George Gershwin's song, so. But you know, there's times in life when one has to has to interject. And so I will stop it. We'll play it again later. So I think I mentioned that this week, Pete is off from work. So over online, on the governor's line, the line the governor of the state of Maine calls in on, I have Maria, my other coworker. Good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning.
And I texted you this morning, and I'm thinking she might not want to do this.
But, I was driving; that was my delay.
Oh, okay. But the other thing is, I can have the ability to embarrass you. I think I've done it at work.
You've done it. You've done it even when I haven't been on the radio with you.
That's true. That's true. I try, but it's been
People call in and they say, "Oh, are you Tom's daughter?" And I always want to ask, "So what story do you know me from?"
I haven't told them all the stories. So I mean, do we have some time?
That's okay, that's all right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Maria is holding down the fort today at the Prius store, and
I am.
And it was, Pete was off yesterday too, and yeah. We always have a lot of fun when Pete's. He's got the day off.
Here's the thing. I came in this morning, and I'm all set to. We have a computer. I got to get the hard drive out of, and I'm all set to do that on Pete's desk. And I see it looks like some sort of electrical business blew up on Pete's desk.
Well, yeah. You know what happened. I was waiting all day yesterday for a soldering station because we have some repairs to do on some displays for Priuses. And you remember me saying that's going to come in? Well, when I went to close the shop, there's a box of tank stuff, and that soldering station is on top of it. The FedEx guy drops it. The FedEx guy dropped it in our shop. I mean, drives right by our office with the lights on, with the two of us.
Neither of us saw him either.
Yeah, we didn't see him. I mean, he snuck in. So I looked at, you know, I get a notice that it's been delivered. He delivered it at 3:58. What? We were right there.
That's too funny.
So if you carefully move stuff out of the way, if you want, you know, when we're done doing this fun thing.
I should be okay.
Okay. All right. It probably won't take me long to do it, but I had to come back to work to at least try it, and then I decided to go home. I thought I'd be doing plumbing, and then I get home and I'm missing stuff, so I got more tools I got to bring. So,
isn't that just the way?
It is the way, and but we got a lot done yesterday. I thought in the office, you know. When you came in, it was already taken apart, the whole office.
Yeah, all the shelves were down. And then we realized, I'm sure, I don't know if you've told them, we've got these shelves that have the brackets and you put the little shelf do flickers on. And we realized some of them were installed upside down.
Yeah, I don't know who would do that.
Shelves were level.
Well, you know, I announced it earlier. This is National Dyslexia Awareness Month.
Oh, well, good. It's nice we have a month.
Yeah. And the quote here is from Oscar Wilde, which I just love, is be yourself, everyone else is taken. Isn't that great?
Yeah. That is great.
Yeah. So anyway, Maria gets to do the car detailing.
Detailing.
Yeah, Maria's the one who going to, if she ever becomes governor of the state of Maine, is going to outlaw dogs and children from cars.
Glitter. I don't know how people get loose glitter in their vehicles, but there's a lot of loose glitter in cars.
Yeah. Well, it's better than candy, though, under the seats.
Than candy and better than dog hair, too.
Do you remember the one we found with the maggots under the seat?
Did I
ever show that to you?
Out of my mind. I don't think you showed it to me. I think you told me about it.
Yeah. It was melted lollipops under the seat, and there were maggots on it.
No, thank you.
It was disgusting. So, how's breakfast going out there in Radio Land this morning, folks? Maria, we've got a call, so let's take the call, see if we can confuse everybody.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. I have a hybrid question for you.
Sure.
Time for that.
Sure, do.
I actually own a 2007 Ford Escape hybrid, and apparently it has the Toyota drive system in it.
Right.
Are you familiar with that? And I will get various times a wrench that'll light up on the dash, very inconsistent, that says service soon. All the systems check out. There's no engine lights on. And the nearest I could find out in the internet is possibly a throttle body or a computer. I have had it to O'Reilly's, and they put it on, you know, read the code. Mm-hmm. They really weren't able to tell me anything beyond it, just service the engine. Any experience with something like that?
We've had some Ford Escapes in. You sure it isn't just the service light for changing the oil or for a routine?
No, the oil. Yeah, it did. I've checked all those.
But I mean, that resets.
Yes, and you reset that.
Okay.
But yeah, I've tracked this against temperature, how long I've been driving before the light comes on. Sometimes it'll come on within minutes. Other times it won't come on at all.
And this is the check.
Very inconsistent behavior.
This is the check engine light.
No, it's a small wrench that says to service soon. It is not the check engine light.
I think that's
small wrench.
Oh, and O'Reilly's is not getting any codes?
No, all they confirm is the service soon, and that's it. No codes. It was just really a generic, and my understanding is you really have to go to Ford, I guess, to get a deeper reading on the car. The internet seems to point toward a throttle body cleaning or replacement, which isn't that expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, we even went to the back and replaced. Some people were saying the air filter cartridge for the battery fan.
Mm-hmm.
If that's clogged or it's not getting good circulation, we'll also trigger the wrench, but we replace that. The fan circulation is fine on it, but it's been a bit of a challenge to get to the root of it. Car ran fantastic. It's fully loaded, so all the self-check on it doesn't show anything. Abnormal brake fluid, oil levels, transmission, door locks. We did have a door lock that was malfunctioning in the wet weather. We replaced that because it could trigger a alarm or the interior dome lights would go on while you're driving.
Yeah.
And that was the problem, I guess, Ford had with them. But, yeah, the wrench has been a bit of a challenge, so we're still on the hunt.
Yeah, I don't have any answer for you. I guess I would suggest that maybe the easiest solution would be to get it to a shop that has a snap-on scan tool, the really expensive one, that would save you from going to Ford. I guess it depends how much Ford charges. A lot of guys who have the snap-on tool are going to charge a lot less than the Ford garage is going to. I would clean the throttle body too while I was at it. I mean, that's not a big deal to clean the throttle body,
right?
And just see if I've not had that experience. I haven't had them for long. That you know, we get them in and go through them, but we've not had any that have had that issue. We've had a few odd things with them, but nothing too abnormal.
Yeah, outside of that, it runs great, quiet. Everything seems to work fine. So I'm going to pursue the throttle body, and if I come across anything that's far-reaching or a surprise, I'll relay it with you down the road.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Right, bye-bye. Yeah. Marie, you didn't have anything to add to that, did you?
No, I had a phone call, and someone stopped in. So I was on mute and not listening.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's normal. So what we got to do now is take a break. So,
okay.
But you can listen to the tunes. I mean, you know, it's going to be a good tune.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, we're back. It's 9:37. It's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. It's me, Tom, and over on line two, I think we have Maria.
Yes, you do.
Okay, I just wanted to check. I thought maybe you were busy with customers because they're just flocking in because Pete's not there.
Nope.
Okay.
Currently in a lull.
Oh, my goodness. So I've conjured up some text messages here, Maria. One is I was talking about wearing headphones on while you're driving, you know, or the earbuds, can be used as a Bluetooth device, so you're hands free. And the question was, I thought it was illegal to wear headphones, say 20 years ago, because you can't hear other traffic or people outside the car. Am I remembering this wrong? I don't know if you're remembering it wrong from 20 years ago, but it is legal in the state of Maine. I just looked it up. So there.
Oh,
and
I
don't think that's quite kosher. I think you should have one ear free
to hear
if something odd is occurring.
Someone's honking at you.
Honking at you, swearing at you. if the car's making funny noises, it's good to know that.
Yeah.
All right. Got another one. A couple here. Got several. What's the pros and cons of propane versus oil heating for a new home? propane is probably a little bit less service need than oil. I think oil system, you obviously need to clean once a year. Propane, you could probably shirk that responsibility. That is just a cleaner burning fuel. The difference is, in both cases now, you usually have to buy an oil tank and generally you have to buy a propane tank. And if you have a small propane tank is going to mean you got more fill-ups, which means the cost per gallon is going to be higher. It's possible, I think, to get energy for less per BTU using propane if you shop it right. How you do that, I don't know. But I know that there's a lot of flexibility in the pricing of propane where fuel oil is pretty fixed. I'd probably, just because I'm an old dog, I'd probably lean towards an oil system. I just personal preference. To a much lesser degree, I don't want to point any fingers here, but you have an oil leak. You know, it's not necessarily the best thing in the world, but it's manageable. Whereas a propane leak is a whole other ball game. Another text, do you recommend draining seasonal hot water heaters when not in use for 6 months? Freezing is not a factor. You can. I usually don't. But if you don't, you should certainly flush it before you use the water. Just run the system, flush the water out of the thing, and then let it heat up before you use it. I guess I'd be more inclined to drain it than not drain it. I think that's a safer approach. Let's see. We got another one here. Do you know the guy next to your shop that has the International Harvester Metro van full of crap? Junkie place, van's full of stuff. No. And I'm not sure which junkie place we're talking about, but there's a number of them. not right next door to me, but down the road a little bit. Do you think he'd sell it? I don't know. I think you should go ask him. But here's the thing. Maria, we'll appreciate this. If you're looking for a big vehicle to haul stuff around in, I can't think of anything better than an ambulance.
You know, I can't either.
That ambulance runs. You don't have to think about being all rusted out and everything. We got to take that for a ride, last week?
Yeah, a week or two ago. It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's better to be in the front driver's seat as opposed to riding in the back.
Very true.
And I think the ride is better if you're in the front. On many levels.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. All right. What else you got? Anything?
Me? I don't know. Did you tell your listeners in Radioland that I saved a bee yesterday?
Gee, I didn't do that. I will, though. I noticed this critter crawling around on a cardboard box, and it turned out it was a honeybee. So my daughter, being the dear soul that she is, rescued this bee and put it outside after giving it some honey, which is not what she was supposed to give it.
No, it's supposed to be, if you find, it's the same with butterflies, too. If you find a sluggish and tired bee, you're supposed to do a mix of 1-to-1 water and sugar. But I don't have granulated sugar here, but I do have some honey that I bought and didn't like. So
you give it to the poor bee.
You
could have killed that bee.
If I get a sore throat, I can make honey tea. I mean, I don't mind it, but I don't like it, so I figure it can stay here. And so I saw the little bee, and I put some honey on a lid, and I got the bee up on a piece of paper and put the bee on a lid, and it sat there, and it drank the honey for I don't know how long, 5-10 minutes.
We have a lot of wildlife around our shop.
we do. That is true.
We have a major frog thing going on. A couple of weeks ago,
they're all starting to hibernate now. The numbers have dwindled considerably.
Well, it was about 2 weeks ago. It was still warm out, and I caught a little baby toad, and brought it in to visit with Maria because I knew she would enjoy this. Unfortunately, the toad. Had a, how do I put this delicately, a mishap on my hand. That may be good luck. I mean, but it was okay. We put it out, and Maria then took a video of the toad, which I'm sure is somewhere. Is it on your computer at home?
I think it's on my computer at home. I deleted everything off my phone except for a couple of photos of caterpillars here.
Okay. The phone number's one. Let me give the phone number just so we can get somebody to call. 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-447. The phone just lit right up. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, Maria. Let's go over to line one. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm thinking of putting a heat pump water heater in my basement,
which
is currently unheated. And I was wondering what I could expect for a temperature drop in the basement, 50 square feet.
There's a number of variables that go into this, but I think the rule of thumb is, and this is my crude rule of thumb, that if your basement is large enough, and by that I'm going to say around maybe 1,000 square feet, you're probably okay. But it's probably going to drop 5 to 8 degrees easy.
Because it stays 55 down there all winter without any heat.
Well, what will happen with most of these units, they have a mode that you can put it in. When it drops below probably something like 45 degrees, it's just going to kick over to straight electric. So it doesn't, because at that point, it's a couple things going on with a heat pump water heater. One is, if it's too cold, it's going to run too long. The second thing is that it needs to be a certain temperature to defrost the coils when it goes into defrost mode. So if it gets too cool, it takes too long to defrost. So it'll just kick into electric at that point. But you can do it manually. You can just run it straight heat pump, which saves the most money. But as if it gets too cold, it's going to be, you know, a challenge. But that could be run automatically, and it'll do it itself.
Right. I didn't know if it would be just a couple of degrees or if it would really, really chill
it. It'll be significantly cooler. I have a heat pump water heater running at my house. And my basement walls are insulated, so it tends
to. Mine are too.
Okay, so you're going to find that your first floor is going to stay cooler, the floor in particular. And this time of year, that might be challenging. Again, it depends what's running in the basement to give off heat that the heat pump water heater is going to scavenge, and how much hot water you actually use.
Right.
So.
Well, we'll give it a try anyway.
Yeah, give it a go.
Switch it to electric.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. You know, I have had requests at my house to shut off the blank heat pump water heater. Because it does run more this time of year because it's a little bit cooler, and it is chilling the first floor, where a month ago that was great. You know, it was very comfortable on the first floor. Now it's a little challenging. So I made a list Thursday night of the tools I needed to bring home. And I did as much as I could do yesterday, having forgotten a couple of things. But that's kind of what I do. So anyway.
I assume that blank before the blank heat pump water heater, that's the name brand, right? That wouldn't be any sort of foul language, right? I'm sure whoever's making that request is using the brand name and not a...
No, it wasn't the language that I would use, which would be a little bit more declarative than what your mother would use.
Yeah.
So she probably said, damn. I could say that on the radio. So.
Can you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But she, you know, she's lived with me long enough that I think... Some of this is rubbing off.
I'm
a bad influence.
Fair enough, but I'm sure she's learned.
It's a bad influence. So the other and last story of the day here, apparently, I'm going to give the phone number again, 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. I've mentioned this many times over the years that I measure my work progress on any given project and how much blood I can shed. And the more, she's sighing because she knows what's coming. The more blood I shed, the more productive I seem to have been. So Thursday, I wanted to swap some tires on two Priuses. And this is not a big deal. I usually wear, you know, like I've been wearing gloves for the heat exchangers because I could cut myself. And all the cuts have healed, by the way, so that's good. So I go to swap two tires. It's not a big deal. I've got an impact tool, and I didn't put gloves on, and I take a tire off. Just comes right off. I'm not beating on it or anything, and I just move my hand from right to left, and my left hand index finger hits the brake caliper, and this big hunk of skin comes off. like I was in maybe I was in a nuclear accident or something that I mean it's just like, oh my God. And Marie, anytime I go in the office, what's the question that you get from me?
Where are the Band-Aids?
And I was hemorrhaging a lot. It was amazing. So I guess what's happening, and if you listen to the radio show, you know this, I'm getting thin-skinned. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, and we got phone calls. Let's go to the phones before they hang up. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning. I have a question regarding radiant heat.
Sure.
And flooring.
Yeah.
And my question is, I have part of the level that the radiant heat is for. Part of it has engineered hardwood over it,
mm-hmm.
and part of it has had carpeting over it.
Mm.
And I want to replace the carpeting, and I thought, well, which one is really allowing the heat to be more efficient? Not that I'm going to put carpeting on the whole thing, but should I replace the part that's had carpeting with carpeting or make it all engineered hardwood?
That's a good question. It depends how thick the carpeting is, because carpeting is basically more insulative than the floor would be. What I mean by that is how thick is the pad that's underneath the carpeting. So it's a very low nap, like a Berber or something like that. I think you get reasonable heat transfer. And the same thing goes for the wood, too. The thicker it is, the more insulative it is. But it's denser, so I think it may be a little more conductive and a little less insulative. So my choice would be to not carpet. Do you have much? How thick is the pad? What you have now? Do you know?
I don't know. And when it was put down, it was known that there's radiant heat under
mm-hmm.
the floor. So, in fact, there's one little section that has tile over it too. But I'm not replacing
well,
that.
Well, let me ask this question: Is everything heating okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just was trying to figure out, as long as I have to replace the carpet anyway, what's going to be more efficient in the long run? It's all been fine.
Yeah,
I have no complaints
okay.
about any of it.
That would be number one. Is the comfort okay? If it is, yeah. I don't think it's a major issue. I'm going to say, from an overall theoretical point of view, carpeting less efficient than an engineered hardwood floor.
Okay.
All right.
And
tile would be more efficient than either of those.
Okay. Well, that section's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
One thing I will have to do, because they put different layers of, I don't know what you call it, subfloor or whatever,
mm-hmm.
knowing what was going to be on top and different. So I may have to have another layer put on or taken away from where the carpeting was.
Yeah.
The engineered hardwood would be the right height.
Which might warrant just sticking with the carpeting.
Okay, I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a choice of thickness of the actual engineered hardwood. It was,
yeah.
you know, it's hardwood or it's engineered
right.
for this. So,
yeah. hmm.
So you think the wood would allow more heat to be cooked?
It, without seeing it, yeah.
Okay.
And here's the assumption I'm making. The engineered hardwood is probably a half inch to three quarters of an inch. I'm assuming it's probably 3/8 to a half inch thick. The carpeting, I'm assuming, is probably maybe a half inch pad and a half inch of pile. So it's at least an inch. Maybe it's even thicker. It could be an inch and a half. That's a big difference between the two. Now, having said that, if the comfort level is there, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I don't think you're going to – I mean, if you put in hardwood where the carpeting is and you're just doing it for energy efficiency, I don't think okay. you're going to see a big bump in terms of oil savings or fuel savings.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you
for fielding that. Bye.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye. And I think we got time for one more, Maria.
Okay.
All right. Let's go over to line two. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? No, we don't. It's okay. We're almost out of time anyway. All right. Well, look, I'll let you go because it's just about the end of the hour. I appreciate you coming on with me. It's good to have somebody to talk to when nobody calls in. And Maria is there to sell cars. So
I am.
And she might even be more pleasant to deal with than Pete.
Possibly.
Possibly. They're different people. So if
it's true.
And we didn't even talk about music. We'll talk about music maybe next time.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Thank you. See you in a while.
Not a problem.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
That's
my charming daughter Maria, who who is there today running the operation while I'm up here. And quick text message here, skin falling off, leprosy? No, not leprosy. Just I just have to wear gloves, I guess, you know. And it's not like I have I do stuff every day, so it's not like my hands are that genteel. Is that the term I want? Or fragile? They're not. But we are out of time for this week, so I'm gonna bid you adieu, and we will see you next week, same time, same place. A lot of stuff going on this weekend if you're out and about. I can't even begin to say. There's some kind of luthier thing going on in Hallowell, I think, today, which if I didn't have to be at work, I would be there. But I'm here, and I'll see you next week. Take care now.